Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Got your pencil ready? Find you a pencil or a pen. Or get your phone out and bring the note thing up. Don't text, though. 1 Timothy 3:15. I want you to take a few minutes. And I want you to write down a list of the benefits of being a Christian that you have experienced personally. Write down the benefits of being a Christian that you have experienced personally. If you were going to sell a product, who would you hire to do the advertisement? Let me share one with you that's in the Plant City area. There's a guy that owns a steel company that does steel roofing. And he advertises all the time in the farm paper. This is his advertisement. I have a bad attitude, but my prices must be cheap because you keep coming back. Now, Rick saw his face in the paper. He said he looks mean. I won't tell your wife what you said, brother. I just won't. She's going to ask you after a while, though. Sorry, brother. I didn't mean to get you in trouble. Look at him. He's kissing her. Oh, come on. I probably wouldn't hire this guy if he had the cheapest prices, okay? You know, to get up there and say, hey, I got a really bad attitude, but come shop anyhow. I got low prices. Not always looking for low prices. Actually, they tell me that the best salesperson is a satisfied customer. They've used the product, it works for them, and if you ask them to go tell another lady or another man about what they just experienced, they do a good job because they know from firsthand experience. A lot of times you got salespeople up there that hadn't had any experience at all, and they've got that attitude, you know, that salesperson's attitude. You know what I feel like when I go in a car a lot? Like I'm an armadillo trying to get across the street. And here comes the buzzards. Do what? A satisfied customer is the best one. Let's read this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write to you that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, it's interesting how he describes church. He describes it, the first thing he describes as a family. And we are the family of God. Whether we're blood kin relatives, now in Picnic we would be, but that's, oh. Well, we are. But even if you're not a blood relative here, you are a blood relative through Jesus Christ. We are family in Christ, okay? The next one where he calls it the church of the living God has to do with when we assemble together. When we come together as the body of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I like church. I like to come together. I like to worship. I like to fellowship and have a great time. There's something wonderful when the church prays together. All of those things. But he calls us the pillar and ground of truth. What was a pillar used for? I'm not talking about that thing you lay your head down on the bed either, okay? That's not the pillar I'm talking about. A pillar holds something up. That's right. A lot of times it's for beauty. It will look good because of all the designs they put on it, but it's actually made to hold something up. I think about the columns out here on our Family Life Center. Actually, there is like a cement thing in the middle, but there's a bigger cement thing put on the outside, and it's got stucco on it to make it look like it's a great big old pillar holding up all that weight. In the older days, you would see temples with those big pillars, and they'd be beautiful the way they were made. They'd be made out of marble, but they would also function in holding up a heavy load there. All right, the ground, what would that represent? A strong foundation. Not all ground in Florida is good, okay? I want you to know if somebody's trying to sell you property that only stays underwater 6 months of the year, might not be a good place to build, okay? That's not a great place. Even when my last church is about 30 miles through the woods over off of 44 on top of a hill, you would have thought looking at it would have been a great place to build a church. But when they came in and took a soil sample, it was sandy. So it didn't pack down very good. So we had to go in and literally take the sand out and bring field dirt in to get a stronger foundation when they build it. Because a ground or foundation is something that is steadfast, not movable. Now you kind of get a picture of what the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to hold up the truth, and we're to do it steadfastly. I read something as I was studying about how we're to hold up the truth so the world can see it. Wednesday, we had our Bible study, and a thought came to my mind as we were doing our Bible study and prayer time. If the world could only see the truth. If it only could see the benefits of Christ. I'm not just talking about salvation. That's just part of the benefits that we have. But the Bible is filled with all the other benefits that we have as believers. What God does in our life every day. The things that you and I experience through Christ and Christ alone. That's why I wanted you to start writing those things down. I got to be honest with you, I don't think I ever just sit down and wrote down the benefits before till just this week. Not that I didn't know they were there, not that I hadn't preached on many of those benefits, but really just sit down and begin to write them down and list those things. Let me read my list, and you can check yours, and if you got something different, we're going to listen to your list too, okay? I started out by, God speaks to me. Now, I can't describe to you how that works, okay? I just know that God does. Now, sometimes it's through a verse, sometimes it's through another person, sometimes it's through a preacher, sometimes it's through a lesson, and sometimes it's just through the Holy Spirit, He whispers in my ear. Not an audible voice, but I know God's spoke to me. He leads me. I've experienced the leading of God before. And by the way, that's hard to explain too to somebody, but it is there. Healing. Boldness to witness. And I got to tell you, I'm not that bold. Okay? But every once in a while, the Lord just leads me to the right place, the right time, the right person, and gives me that ability to witness to them. And then it's like when you get through, you go, wow. Understanding Scripture. Man, I can't tell you that, you know, I'm not the brightest candle. I'm not the smartest person. I struggle with the King James Version when I first started as much as you probably do, and I tried to pick it up and do a devotional on it the other day. I go, whoa, not easy. So I have a hard time studying and finding out things too, but it's just really neat as you're studying along, reading something, and God leads you to understand that verse. And you just kind of look at it and you go, wow, how many times have I read that verse before and just never saw it? Never knew it was there. Never spoke to me like it did that time. You know? Oh, that's awesome when God does that through the Holy Spirit. Conviction of sin. That's not the pleasant part. All right? When you do something, you know you sinned and the Holy Spirit puts that weight on you. You feel like you're walking around like this. Everybody must notice because I feel like I got the weight of the world on me. And somebody look at that and say, well, that's terrible, Brother Terry. No, it's not. I am so glad the Holy Spirit does that in my life. When I get out of line, I need somebody to get me back in line. It's not pleasant. No, I didn't like my dad and mom getting on to me. You know, I wouldn't have told you that was fun times as I was growing up. We relived some of those things. We talked about me running away from home. Dad said, I didn't spank you. Yes, you did. Uh-huh. I made it all the way from Picnic to Fort Lonesome. I did get a ride on the way, though. They didn't want to bring me home at first because they thought Mom and Dad would kill me. Because I went to my aunt's house. Wanted to play with my cousin. Bad thing to do without asking your parents. Mm-mm-mm. Growth in your spiritual life. Isn't it wonderful when you can look back and, you know, sometimes you look at it and you go, well, I just can't. I seem to be taking one or two steps forward and three steps back in my spiritual life. But then at the end of the year, you can look back and say, wow, I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I want to be. But God, you have blessed, and I have grown stronger in areas of my life. Wow. Peace. All of a sudden, things look like it is falling apart, and God just gives you a peace that He's going to work it all out. And you have a hard time explaining that to somebody, because the Bible actually says the peace that passes all understanding. Most of the world will not understand that peace because they don't have it. Contentment. Now somebody's going to say, well, isn't that the same thing as peace? Well, not exactly. Contentment is the ability to be satisfied with who you are and what you have. All the time in the United States, we want to be richer and we want to have more material things. And it affects Christians, man. I'd like to say it doesn't affect us at all. Every time I pass by a gun counter, I got more guns than I'd ever wear out, unless I chopped a tree down with them. I mean, I couldn't shoot them apart. I had a buddy of mine over in the last church would not ever give up on a gun unless it just fell apart in his hands. All right, he just wouldn't trade out unless it fell apart in his hands. Not me. I get it and want one the next day. But God can bring that contentment that you don't need those things. And by the way, He has to battle with me on that one, okay? That is one He battles with me on. You don't need another one. Yes, I do, Lord. No, you don't. You know? Strengthening. Have you ever felt like you couldn't go on, or you couldn't face what was coming up, and the Lord gave you the strength to do it anyhow? Hard to explain that one, but it's there. Wisdom. You know, the Scripture says if you lack it, you can ask for it. Book of James. Grace. Wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 4, where it talks about Jesus, our high priest, who was tempted in all ways like we, yet without sin. And it says that you and I can approach Him boldly in time of need. The throne of His grace. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Physical presence. Have you ever felt God's presence? I mean, just overwhelmingly. You're right there. You know you're in the presence of God. That one you really can't explain. Got glory bumps all over the place. Just know He's there. I like that when that happens. Answered prayer. God's not thousands of miles away where we have to try to get through to Him. You know? Pray through. Nope. He's right there. Hope. You know, a lot of people are looking at the world today hoping someone will come up with something that would bring them hope for the future. Guess what? I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Hello? I don't care who gets to be president. I know where my future's at. Assurance. I like that one. Have you ever had God humble you? He lets you know you're not quite as big as you think you are. Causing you to be able to forgive. You ever had somebody you couldn't forgive and you prayed and prayed about it and God gave you the ability to forgive somebody? That's pretty awesome. Helping you love somebody you couldn't love on your own. That happened in my last church. I had a family, if I said it was daylight, they'd say it was dark. Pretty much everything we disagreed on. That really gives you, you know, when you're trying to be a pastor to lead a church and you have always have somebody disagree with in everything you do. But you know what? God gave me the ability to love them like He loved them. He can do that. Resolving conflict. Do you know God can help you resolve conflict? Desire to help others. Desire to see people saved. Desire to alleviate pain. Passion to work with or minister to certain groups. Ability to love all people. Spiritual gift or gifts. Taking your worries away. Forgiveness. Now that's just my list. You see, we're to uphold truth so the world can see it. Most of us don't even realize everything that we have in Christ. The church at Ephesus was that way. They had received Christ, but they were living like spiritual paupers. Paul writes to them and says, "Listen, I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your love. I'm asking God to open up your ability to understand wisdom and knowledge for Him to show what you have in Christ. The hope, the treasure, the power that's available in our lives, the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead." I'm not making this up. It's actually in chapter 1 of Ephesians. He wanted them to understand all that they had in the Lord. Like I said, Wednesday night I was thinking, if people just could see the truth about what they could have in Jesus, surely they would trust Him. If they just understood they could have peace, they could have God strengthening, the Holy Spirit guiding them, leading them, God talking to them, God wanting to be a part of their lives every day, God loving them everlastingly. No matter what they do, He still loves them. All the benefits, surely if they could just see that and understand that, they would trust Him or want to trust Him. But guys, the thing is, you and I have to realize what we do have in Christ. Because many of us live just like the Ephesian church did. Yes, we've got salvation. Yes, we know we're going to heaven someday, but it's just that part in between that we don't realize all that God's got for us and wants us to have. And we're missing out on a lot of it. So the first thing is we have to know the benefits. That's why I wanted you to start listing them. Because after you get through listing what you personally experience, then I want you to get into the Bible. Uh-oh, homework. I killed a whole class one time in Sunday school. Went from a marriage class, and that was fantastic. They were there every Sunday, just eating it up. Then I decided to do experiencing God. When you do experiencing God, you actually have to do homework 5 days a week. Yes, you can cram it all in one day if you want to, but it'll be a long day. But when I did that, guess what happened to my classroom? The mass exodus took place. They were delivered out of my classroom. People don't like to do homework, but this will be good homework. I want you to go through and begin to look in the Scriptures and find all the promises of God to the benefits that you can have in this life. Now, I'm not talking about heavenly benefits. That's a guarantee. That's going to happen. I'm talking about the benefits you've got right here, right now. Because, guys, I got to tell you, from beginning to end, whether it's peace or wisdom or help in time of need or comfort or conviction or hope or rejoicing or spiritual riches or how to witness or how to be saved, the Scripture's filled with it. Sometimes just certain books are set aside for things like that. James and Proverbs are for wisdom. 1 John's for fellowship. Psalms is for rejoicing and conviction. By the way, Brother Doug, they were singing hymns for a lot of years before that took place. That's what the book of Psalms is all about. That was the Jewish hymn book. And we let Satan have carols too long. We're going to use them for the glory of God now. And by the way, guess what? When David played the harp, the evil spirit left Saul for a while. Music does have an influence in our lives, doesn't it? Pretty interesting. Man, you want to know about action and drama? Hollywood hadn't got anything over the Scriptures, buddy. From a guy who escapes a battle, makes it into a tent, to a lady driving a tent peg through his head. To a whole group getting swallowed up all at one time. That's a sinkhole. I was watching a program on sinkholes in Florida. Man, we are on the top of the list of sinkholes. Lady was walking around her yard one day and just disappeared. Bottom just fell out. She gave out a holler. A police officer was close by and grabbed her, and praise the Lord, she'd have been gone. It just dropped out from underneath her. That whole group, God calls that sinkhole. Swallowed up the whole bunch of them. Guys, it's there. From the book of beginnings, you want to know how everything got created, where everything came from, even where sin came from. Genesis. Want to know about the Passover? That's what we studied in Sunday school this morning. How God brings judgment and salvation. Right there in Exodus. Want to know about the laws? Look at Leviticus. By the way, you better drink coffee with that one, because that'll take you a while. We've just got so many benefits, so many promises of God. And by the way, when He makes a promise, He keeps it. Isn't that wonderful? Guys, we've got it. Now our responsibility is to show and tell the world about it. Have you ever did a gospel presentation to somebody? I learned 4 or 5 different ways to give somebody the gospel. Primarily uses the same verses. Sounds canned, no matter how you do it sometimes. But guys, if you just turn around and let the Lord lead you to tell them about what God's doing in your life right now, what you're experiencing, how He's talking to you, how He's leading you, how He's speaking to you, how He's helping you to understand the Scriptures. Man, there is nothing about a personal testimony that somebody can say is not real. They can tell you the Bible's not real. They can even try to tell you God's not real. But when you tell them this has happened to me, God's real, it's really hard for them to say, no, it ain't. Guys, we need to live it out every day. There are so many things God has for you that you're missing out. So many spiritual blessings that He wants you to have. And He wants me to have. He wants us to live it out every day so the world can see that truth lifted up all the time. They hear a lot of preaching. You know, it's easy to preach. It's easy to get up on Monday and start living it, though. That makes it a little more difficult, a little harder to live it out every day. But that's what we're supposed to do. That's what He's blessed us with. And guys, we got to tell them about it. Can't just say, here it is, look at my life. You got to tell them what's happening. And don't just tell them about John 3:16. Tell them about the victory that you got in your life. Tell them about what God's doing in your life and in your kids and in your family and in your neighbors right now. Let them see that God's real and active and wants to be a part of their lives. I still believe in all my heart if they see the truth and they understand the truth, they're going to want Christ. John Maxwell and some of the other leaders in leadership always talks about having a win-win situation. I don't know how you can go wrong with Christ. It's a win-win situation. It really is. Guys, we have so much in Christ. When Thanksgiving comes along, you ought to be able to sit at a table for hours just thinking about God for all the things He's done for you, huh? Let's just get ahead of the curve right now and let's start thanking Him every day. One of the things that I find in Scriptures quite a bit as I read through them is that we're supposed to be a people that thanks the Lord for what He does. Thanksgiving should be upon our worship, our praise, our hymns, whatever you want to say. It should be a part of our lives every day. And guys, the world needs to hear you thanking the Lord. Let me ask you something. Are you ashamed of Him? Are you ashamed to let people know that you know Him? You used to call that undercover Christians. God's not looking for undercover Christians. He's not. He wants you right out where people can hear you and see you, because we're supposed to be a testimony. That's why you're still here. God's got a job for us. Amen? By the way, it's not just for preachers or deacons. God's got a job for every person to be that living testimony of His benefits and what He can do in your life. You're to be a living testimony of that. Something happened. My wife was telling me about going to the doctor with Lainey this week. And Lainey, I didn't understand. The doctor wasn't sure that the procedure he was doing was going to work. He did something on her he'd never operated on, certain part of the brain that affects, I guess, the lower part. My wife, I guess, was able to go in the room with her the other day, and when the doctor reaches down there and turns the switch off, the tremors come back. Turns the switch back on, they stop. I don't know about you, but that's pretty close to a miracle. And guys, you might say, well, that doctor's smart. Nah, he just has a smart God that has given him that knowledge. God is real. There are so many benefits for being His kids, His children. And He wants us to live it out every day and tell the world about it, that they can have those same benefits. A satisfied customer is always the best salesperson. Let me ask you something. Are you satisfied? I am. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. The Bible tells us on that Christmas time when Jesus was about to be introduced to the world. You shared the benefits with three wise men, or however many there were, with a star from the east, leading them to that birth. Father, you also went to the shepherds in the fields. You used your messengers, the angels, to share with them the benefits that was coming. As the wise men made their way to Jerusalem, and Lord, I know they get it wrong on the nativity scenes. The three wise men weren't there. They came later on to the house. But they worked their way there, following that star you were leading them with. But those shepherds in the hills, they came looking for Jesus. They found him. They saw the benefits that you had for us, Lord, through your Son, Jesus. The benefits of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, personal relationship, and a heavenly home, and so, so many other things. Father, help us be those satisfied customers that experiences all those benefits that you have for us. May we share it with the world, with the way that we live, and may we also tell them what they can have. Father, maybe there's someone here that would say, Brother Terry, I've never experienced Christ. I've heard of him. I've heard other people talk about him, but I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Father, in just a moment, we'll give an invitation. I'm going to stand down front. Miss Debbie's leading people to sing, but it's an invitation. I'm inviting those who don't know Christ to come up. I'll sit down and talk with them on how they can know, or have somebody else talk with them how they can know. Lord, the altar's open. Maybe there's someone we know that's not saved that we need to pray for. Lord, maybe we just need to come up as believers and say, Father, I have salvation, but I don't know if I have all those benefits that I have that you've provided for my life. Father, the invitation's yours. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.